Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala, and we're excited to be here today with two very special guests that I'll let Dr. Olala introduce to you. But before we do that, Doc, I know we have a very special time going on our campus this week, and that's our missions conference, and maybe you could make a comment that our listeners would be able to understand some of the heartbeat behind that.
Well, of all of the weeks that we have on campus every year, the most challenging, refreshing, vision-giving week is our mission conference. Numbers of missionaries, families who are here. But we were founded for the purpose of putting workers onto the harvest fields of the world. We don't want to divert from that purpose. A lot of institutions train a lot of people for a lot of different things. We don't want to lose that focus of getting workers to the harvest field. And the mission conference is a vital part of our mission statement.
I know it's one of the highlights of the year here, and our students enjoy a number of different things. We have on staff at Northland a gentleman by the name of Neil Cushman, and that's who oversees all of that and puts the conference together every year. And this year we have as two of our speakers Dr. Don Sisk, who has been with BIMI. Is that right, Brother
Don? Yes,
sir. And you've been with them for how long?
We were accepted as missionaries in 1964.
1964.
So that's 42 years.
42 years. And you served with them on what field?
For 10 years, we were in the country of Japan, and I thought I would actually spend my whole life in Japan. But then I came home to help get the Orient known to the churches in America and Bible colleges and so forth. And I thought I'd be here a couple of years, but that was in 1973. So it's lasted a long time. 10 years I served as the Far Eastern Director of Baptist International Missions, and we got a lot of missionaries going to the Philippines, Korea, Taiwan, so on and so forth. And then for 20 years, I served as the President and General Director of that mission.
How many missionaries served with BIMI?
Slightly over 1,000 missionaries, and we're now in 80 different countries. Have a goal to be in 100 countries by 2010.
Wow. And that's wonderful, brother. We're glad you're here. And
oh, it's a blessing to be
here. Looking forward
to
talking with you.
Great.
And then we have a good friend of this ministry who's been here many, many times. And over the years, we've come to really appreciate him and love you. And that's Brother Carson Fremont. And Brother Carson, tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Well, I first went to the mission field in 1953. I've been a soldier over there in World War II. My children think it's a civil war, but it's not. but I went out as a missionary in 1953, and we're still on active service. 53 years later, we are overseas just 6 or 7 months a year. We're over in the Far East. We've never been in any other part of the world except the Far East, Philippines, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Guam.
Well, it's a blessing to have you here. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the early experiences that shaped your life, and I know our listeners will be interested to know of your friendship and the impact that Jim Elliot had on your life as a college student. Doc, what in your thinking do men like the men we have here who've obviously been on the mission field for years, what do they bring to the table for our student body?
One thing comes to mind, and that is abandonment. That is, back when they made their choice to abandon their life to God's will. To me, when you put abandonment, that is, you don't look back. And the fact that combined 95 years of mission service with these two men, to me, that's abandonment.
That's an amazing.
With the highs and the lows and the discouragements and the encouragements and the sacrifices, if we can call sacrifice for the cause of Christ. To me, it's an element that is so lacking today, the whole concept of abandonment to the will of God. The Luke 14 thinking of, ye cannot be my disciple if we don't love him supremely. If he is not Lord and not, we're not willing to leave all. And I think these men model an abandonment of their love to him, his lordship, and they've left all in order to follow. That's my thinking on it. Our kids need that model today.
Yeah, and so do our churches, by the way. You know,
yes.
It's not just in the college level, and I know we have many parents who have children that are in colleges like Northland and other Christian colleges around the country. But, you know, we were talking a little bit before the broadcast, and Brother Don, you had an interesting observation, and I know Doc Olala was talking a little bit about this, that sometimes parents really struggle with the idea of their kids going to the mission field.
They really do. I always hear people talking about all the things people miss when they go to the mission field. This particular incident, Pastor and I in Lynchburg, Virginia, were eating lunch in a beautiful home. Not good Christian people. You could just tell they were faithful in church, did a lot of good things and so forth. But during the meal, the ladies just commented to Pastor Ralston. She said, "Pastor Ralston, every time we have a mission conference, I get very nervous." And so the pastor inquired as to why she would get nervous during the mission conference. And she said, "Well, you know, we have two teenage children. Both of them are very dedicated Christians." And she said, "I'm scared to death that God is going to call one of them to be a missionary." Mm-hmm. And then she said, "I just don't believe I could stand to see my children go to mission fields and do without all the things that they'd have to do without." And when I heard that, and people have asked the question, is that rather common among Christians? And I always comment, I'm not sure whether it's common or not. It may be, but it's not very Christian, because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Mm-hmm. And if we have a biblical perspective of eternity, then we may be separated for a few years, but we're going to spend eternity together. It's just a shame that people do not have that kind of perspective.
Has that been your experience, Ducko, as you've traveled and talked with folks? Is it hard for them to let their kids go?
Well, I think what has happened is the worldview has saturated Christendom. I'm talking even fundamental Christendom, those of us who believe the inspiration, believe the virgin birth, believe people are genuinely lost. They are going to spend an eternity in hell if they do not accept Christ as Savior. But somehow or another, the worldview has taken over, and the value system of the world has gotten into their souls. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I have picked up is there's kind of a pity for missionaries. Oh, look at the poor things. You know, they have a borrowed station wagon, ball-headed tires, eight kids in there, look like a gerbil cage going down the road. And we'll throw $20 in and help the poor folks on the way, because they're going to need to buy a Jeep and a helmet. And they have completely lost perspective of the major cities. And these may want to comment on it. I mean, the major cities of the world make many of our cities look pretty insignificant.
You know, when you follow the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, rather than going to the jungles, he always went to the major cities. And I think that's a good thing even today, because if you reach the cities, people will be from all the different places into that city, and they can go back to those places and mm-hmm. spread the good news. If you go to the jungle, it sort of stays there. Now, I'm not against jungle evangelism, okay? But by the same token, we need to emphasize cities like Tokyo and Sao Paulo, Brazil, and Mexico City, and Singapore, and on you could go.
I mean, those are some of the largest cities of the world,
largest
aren't they?
Cities in the world. I mean, like 20, 30 million people. It's unbelievable how many people. In fact, as far as I know, there is not a single Independent Baptist church in the city limits of Tokyo with 20 million people. We have a young fellow now that's preparing to start a church inside the city. Mm-hmm. Now, there are churches outside the city in Cerberus, but as far as in the city, I don't know of a single one.
One of the things that I've learned, and that is the privilege of serving the Lord. I never expressed this in my own life as a duty. It's a privilege from the Lord to be called by Him, the greatest privilege anyone can have. And my wife and I faced this when our children were born. I married on my first furlough, married the secretary of Dr. James Jeremiah in Dayton, Ohio. And when our children were born, my wife and I would dedicate each child to the Lord in the hospital, absolutely dedicate them without reservation to the Lord. Yeah. And those children were raised like this, that whatever God wants you to do, it would be a privilege for you to be called by God. And three of our children are now missionaries.
Amen.
We've got two in Hong Kong, one in Germany, and the other one living for the Lord in New York. And parents have got to face this, that when they withdraw them from the possibility that God could call them, they're going to be judged for this, you know, that their children belong to the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord, and they belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
What did you do as a dad, perhaps, to instill this in your children, and how did you help your wife with some of the fears I'm sure she had along the way?
Well, my wife had not come from a missionary background herself. She was a church secretary, but we served 41 years together before she died in the year 2000. But what we did, we would have nightly times around the table right after supper. No one would get up. We'd have a nightly time. We would impress upon the children that they belonged to the Lord, and that we would absolutely support them in anything God wanted them to do. And, of course, they had to be saved first, and then they had to have a time of dedication in their own lives. But we absolutely let them know you belong to the Lord, and we have no other ambitions for you. If God doesn't call you to the mission field, fine. But if he wants to call you to any type of service, you are free to do it. So we've supported him. Even now, we give part of our own finances to help support our kids on the field. Yeah.
Doc, what would you say would help a parent cultivate the abandonment mentality that you're talking about?
Realize who owns them. We have been bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we have to constantly acknowledge that we are not our own. My mind is not mine to do as I will. My body is not mine to do as I will. What God wants for me, the best for me, is that is what his will would be for me. And I believe that the key element is the fact that God owns all. Even he owns all my money. I am obligated to dedicate a portion of that, or I'm a thief if I don't. But he owns all of it. It's not like, oh, I give God a favor. Hey, I'm going to give him a little pittance here. No, he owns it all. He gives me the breath that I breathe. He gives me the life with which I function. And if we lose sight of that, we cling tightly to what is not our own.
And really, at the end, we lose it. We right. lose it at the end, don't we?
And that's what Christ was saying. He who would save his life will lose it. Whoever will lose his life will save it.
When I was in college, I was a classmate of three of the men who died on that beach. Nate Saint was in my class, and Ed McCauley was one class ahead of me. And of the five men who died on that beach in 1956, Jim Elliott was a very, very dear friend. I remember the impact he had on me, this impact of total abandonment to Christ. And, you know, when we dedicate our lives, we're not thinking in terms necessarily of dying on a beach. I mean, I never heard him mention such a thing.
Yeah.
But the idea is, whatever God has for me, I want to make an impact for him rather than for myself.
I think the one saying that was in the flyleaf of his Bible sort of sums up the whole thing when he said, he is no fool who trades that which he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how did that impact your life as you were around him and as you saw him and as you interacted with him?
Well, we had many, many prayer meetings together and a lot of fellowship. We did many things together. One of the things that I learned from him was a lesson that nothing else counts in this life if it doesn't count for the Lord.
Hmm. Well, man, it's been a delight talking to you today about this topic, and we're going to continue our discussion on the meaning of missions for us as we go throughout the week this week in our broadcast series. Thank you for coming in, and we're delighted at what God is doing in you and through you, and not just in our students, but in our own lives. Until the next time we're together, may the Lord bless you.